Hello, this is Regina, and I have decided to make a recording, a 30-minute recording for the Guiding Light for next week, because I will be on an airplane traveling back from Oregon, and I won't be able to do this live. That's part of the reason. The other part of the reason is that the truth is I can't quit contemplating the last few minutes of the video that we watched the previous Sunday. And so I want to do this out loud contemplation. I want to look deeper into this reflexive mechanism of the mind and contemplate it with you. So I'm going to do that for 30 minutes, and then this will play while I'm on the plane. I want to start by playing the last few minutes of the video that we listened to last week, just to kind of refresh our memory. So what you're about to hear now is Bernadette Roberts, beginning at about the 10-minute point in the video, A Path to No Self, and we will listen to about the 14-minute point, which is where we ended last week, and then I will step in with my contemplation. Here we go.
And so we have to define, so we're going to define self. Now, self cannot be known, as I've said, so long as we are living it or are it. Self is really, at least the totality of self, is only known once it is gone, in its absence. We know it by what is not there anymore, what is not functioning, what is absent, and so forth. That is how we at least know the totality of self. Self is also, first and foremost, an experience. It is not an idea in our heads. You see, before we can have any idea of self, it must first be an experiential reality. Otherwise, the term self would never have arisen. Where did we get the idea of self from? Some people say it's a false idea, but where did we get it from? We get it from our experience. Self, in fact, is man's most immediate experience. And I repeat that. Self is man's most immediate experience. Everything else is mediated experience. But unmediated experience, or the most mediated experience, is, or how should we say that? It's most unmediated experience is self. All other experiences are mediated through self. We said we wanted to start before there was any, before man was around. And so we're going to start with the animal. And let us say that this is, that for right now, let us say that this represents, this circle represents the animal's brain. His, the center and all of his neurological system. And this is a sensory brain. In other words, and only a sensory brain. In other words, it only, as it were, looks outward and takes in. And here I say looks outward. And it takes in and responds to everything that's coming inward, everything that touches it. And this is the animal's sensory brain. And I've often thought, what would it take to go from this step, the animal, if God wanted to create man, what would he have to do? Is it the next step, you might say? You know, it is so clever and so ingenious. Of course, every creative act of God is. And it's also extremely simple. You know, without any lightning or thunder, all God really had to do was to take the sensory brain and bend it on itself. And now, the animal, and this is no longer an animal. Now the sensory brain not only looks outward and responds to what is outward, in the bending of this brain, now what does it see? It sees itself. And voila, self is born, consciousness is born. And let me say right here, I'd like to make a comment here, that there really is no such thing as evolution as such, or at least as we usually understand it. You see, however, whatever gradations or the ordering of the universe there is, nothing new comes into existence without God's creative act. Very simple act. To go from one flower to another flower, one species to another. God needs to alter maybe a chromosome, alter a few cells. Very silent, very quiet. But you see, what we see is something new coming forth. And that's what we call evolution, is the change we see.
All right, where we stopped it. What I'm going to do is turn to the book, What is the Self? And first I'm just going to read the first couple of sentences that we read as we started looking at this. And she just reiterated those sentences in the video, but I'm going to reiterate them again. It says, "No one knows the true nature of self as long as he is living it, or is it. The true nature of self can be disclosed only when it falls away and becomes known in retrospect by its absence or what was." And I think I'll just leave that. But that is a very important part of meditation. I think we have to realize that we live with something, which Nisargadatta would call the I am present. That is so much a part of our experience, we don't even notice it fully. And in fact, I would say the spiritual path is about coming to know it, beginning to look at it. This is what awareness, watching awareness meditation is all about. Coming to know it, beginning to look at it, going deeper into it, discovering what it is until we transcend it. And go to what she would call, what Bernadette would call, the next level of existence. Now I'm going to turn to page 7 of What is the Self? And I'm going to begin the section called The Function of Consciousness. She says, "The fact that man is not always conscious of his own awareness, conscious, that is, attests to the rootedness of self-awareness in the unconscious." I'll read that sentence again. Bernadette's going to be a very slow study. "The fact that man is not always conscious of his own awareness, self-conscious, that is, attests to the rootedness of self-awareness in the unconscious." When I went to visit Michael Langford at his home in Nevada, he gave me a gift. It was a rock, a heart-shaped rock, which has disappeared. I need to look for it. I think maybe my maid thought it was in the house by accident, maybe, and tossed it out because it just disappeared. But maybe if I look for it, I'll find it fell under a table or something. But that's beside the point. He gave me this heart-shaped rock. And he said he found this rock at the end of his driveway. He has a very, very long driveway. And what he needs to do weekly when he takes the trash out is he drags that trash down to the end of the driveway, leaves it there for the trash man, and then at the end of the day, he drags the trash can back up to his home. And he said he did this for 14 years, you know, once a week. He would drag the trash down to the end of the driveway, at the end of the day, take the trash and drag it back. For 14 years, he visited the end of the driveway in this way. And one day, he looked down and saw this heart-shaped rock. And what he realized is he had been walking by that heart-shaped rock for 14 years and had never noticed it. And he says this is the way people are with the self. You know, they live with the self their entire lives. without ever noticing it. Let's look at this sentence again. The fact that man is not always conscious of his own awareness or self-consciousness, or self-conscious that is, attests to the rootedness of self-awareness in the unconscious. So again, what Bernadette appears to be saying is that the difference between animals and humans, which are two different levels of existence in the creative process, they both have senses, and we know they both have brains. But the difference is, animals are aware outward only, and they respond to the outward stimuli. Where we are aware outward, and we're aware, you could call it inward, towards the self. She calls this a bending of the mind back, which gives us a sense of self, or the I am presence. And yet this most intimate experience is so ordinary and so always for the human that humans aren't consciously aware of it and therefore never investigate it and never look to see where it comes from. They never ask, what is this self? Where does this sense of self come from? What's at the basis of this sense of self? And if you listen to this very carefully, you can hear self-inquiry arising. Who am I? What am I? Also, just as an entertaining thought, if consciousness somehow is like a boomerang, and you know, if you start with the first principle of God, and you come to this boomerang, which we call the second principle of God, you now have God and something else, a boomerang. And you throw that boomerang, and that's the creative process. And that boomerang goes out, 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 as far away from God as it can get, as far away from the first principles it can get. And you come to the animal, who is only aware outwardly of an illusory world and lives only outwardly in an illusory world and has no awareness of God or the first principle or consciousness or anything else. And then that boomerang begins to turn around. When it begins to turn around, when it takes that beginning of that turn, the actual curve of the turn is the creation of the human with this mind that bends on itself. That bending of the mind is the curve of the boomerang. So that now this creation can begin to look at itself, notice its sense of self, notice consciousness. Then when we begin to become aware of self, aware of self-awareness, and we begin to investigate it, that is the return motion of the boomerang, coming all the way back to the hand of God. And then the boomerang is laid down and we're back into the first principle. That would mean that the human being is the curve and the ability to return. Bernadette said in the beginning of this video that no one really knows the descending path. No one really knows how the boomerang came into being or came to be tossed. But we can each know this returning path. because we are that mechanism. We are that curve in the return. And we have that ability, that power to return by reflecting on the self that we can be aware of. That is, to me, incredible. Right now, I don't know what to say. There's just this huge heart opening, almost a desire to cry. I mean, that's amazing, that power and opportunity that we have, which we can embrace or throw away in this lifetime. To have this ability to return that no previous existence had, that the elements did not have, even though they are existence, that the fruit, the vegetables, the plants did not have, even though they are existence, that the animals did not have, even though they're very sophisticated existence, we have. And it appears to me that this ability to reflect on self can be used for, if you'll pardon the terms, for good or for evil. Because this ability to reflect on self is what makes me central to my experience. And me central to my experience can be used for selfishness, or it can be used to seek inwardly and find God, find truth, find the beginning. That's awesome, I think. What are we going to do with it? That's up to each of us, isn't it? Let me see if I can get through one paragraph in half an hour. The fact that man is not always conscious of his own awareness, self-conscious, that is, attests to the rootedness of self-awareness in the unconscious. This rootedness is responsible for the continuity of self-consciousness across all levels of consciousness, including the level we call unitive or God consciousness. So when she refers to all levels of consciousness, for her, you know, in her definition of consciousness, which is this mind that's bent, aware of itself, consciousness does not begin until the human. So when she refers to all levels of consciousness, she's referring to the curve and the return motion. And during the return motion, one of the levels of consciousness that we pass through is what she calls the unitive state, what I often call awakening to the second principle of God, what many people call enlightened, but we now know it's only the first awakening. There's also a second awakening, right? She's saying that this self-awareness mechanism, which begins as very unconscious in humans, which is why Michael Langford said most humans, you know, just like he didn't see that heart rock, even though he walked by it for 14 years, most humans are never aware of this self-awareness. She's saying beginning at that state where it's really unconscious, that it's the curve, all the way through the return until the boomerang lands in the hand of God and is put down. Through all of those phases of awakening, until the boomerang is put down, this consciousness or self-consciousness is the same and continuous. It's the same and continuous through all of these different phases, all of these different shifts or awakenings. Which is one reason why in our meditations we're always looking for what's continuous. We're always looking for what doesn't change. The rootedness is responsible. The fact that this self-consciousness is mostly unconscious until, of course, we dig all the way down into it, and it disappears, right? This rootedness is responsible for the continuity of self-consciousness across all levels of consciousness, including the level we call unitive or God consciousness. There could be no self-awareness if this awareness were not, first of all, unconscious. There could be no self-awareness if this awareness were not, first of all, unconscious. In other words, once we finally go inward enough that we dig it out completely, it disappears. If it's not unconscious to some degree, it's no longer present. That's the same with any false belief. You know, I've talked about how false beliefs have died for me. One, for example, is betrayal or rejection. You know, I used to believe in betrayal. I used to believe in rejection. Just like most other humans, I experienced and witnessed betrayal and rejection. Until at some point, I went in and I found the root of those beliefs. And when I saw the root of those beliefs, I also saw instantly that they were completely false. They were completely made up mental concepts. And at that point, they died for me, and I no longer experience or see rejection or betrayal. They're non-existent false beliefs, and I'm fully aware of that. So once they were dug completely out of the unconscious, they vanished. They had no support. She's saying the same thing is true with self-awareness. Or self-consciousness, or the I am presence, or what she calls consciousness. When we look at it enough, when we dig into it enough, when we get deep enough that we see its root, it vanishes. And that is awakening to what I call the first principle of God. The rootedness is responsible for the continuity. The fact that it's unconscious and that we haven't gotten to the root yet is why we continue to experience it as continuous. And that's why some people think that consciousness or awareness, the self-awareness, is the eternal because of its continuity and because they haven't yet reached the root. Remember, she said, it can only be known in its absence. And as long as you're in it, you can't fully see it. This rootedness is responsible for the continuity of self-consciousness across all levels of consciousness, including the level we call unitive or God consciousness. So it's still at play after the first awakening. There could be no self-awareness if this awareness were not, first of all, unconscious. Because once we dig it out of the unconscious, like every other false belief, it disappears. As someone once noted, nothing rises to the conscious level that is not first on the unconscious level of consciousness. This fact tells us that self-awareness on the conscious level is not sufficient to account for self or consciousness, and that we must look to a deeper level if we are to find the true source and origin of self-awareness. So right there, we see why awareness watching awareness meditation is so important. We see why it is the direct path. Because looking deeply into this self-awareness, until we get to that root and it disappears like every other false belief, that is the return action of the boomerang. That is the path of awakening. That is how we transcend human and go to the next level of existence. I saw something in this morning's, actually it wasn't this morning's tip. I watched the gentle healing tips that Jacqueline and Connie write for Gentle Healing Year 1. I read their tip, and then I read the one that I originally wrote also. And so when I was reading the tip that I originally wrote for Lesson 140, I read this, which I would like to reflect on now. This is actually a quote from the Course, but I read it in my tip, didn't read the lesson today. The lesson also says, we will try today to find the source of healing. And I said in the tip that healing is synonymous with awakening. We will try today to find the source of healing, which is in our minds because our Father placed it there for us. That's a quote from the Course. We will try today to find the source of healing, which is in our minds because our Father placed it there for us. Now listen to this part of the Bernadette recording again.
Here's the center and all of his neurological system.
She's talking about the animal's brain.
And this is a sensory brain. In other words, and only a sensory brain. In other words, it only, as it were, looks outward and takes in. And here I say, looks outward. And it takes in response to everything that's coming in. Everything that touches it. And this is the animal's sensory brain. And I've often thought, what would it take to go from this step, the animal, if God wanted to create man, what would he have to do? What is it, the next step, you might say? You know, it is so clever and so ingenious, of course, every creative act of God is, and it's also extremely simple, you know, without any lightning or thunder. All God really had to do was to take the sensory brain and bend it on itself. And now, the animal, and this is no longer an animal, now the sensory brain not only looks outward and responds to what is outward, in the bending of his brain, now what does it see? It sees itself.
Let me read again. This line from the Course. We will try today to find the source of healing, which is in our minds because our Father placed it there for us. So the creative process in making us self-aware gave us the ability to return to the source, to the beginning, to God, the first principle of God. That self-awareness, that ability to be self-aware, is the return of the turn of the curve in the boomerang. I'll read this entire paragraph again. There's not time to begin another paragraph, so let's just look at this first paragraph on page 7. The fact that man is not always conscious of his own awareness, self-conscious, that is, attests to the rootedness of self-awareness in the unconscious. This rootedness is responsible for the continuity of self-consciousness across all levels of consciousness, including the level we call unitive, or God consciousness. There could be no self-awareness if this awareness were not, first of all, unconscious. As someone once noted, nothing rises to the conscious level that is not first on the unconscious level of consciousness. Nothing rises to the conscious level that is not first on the unconscious level of consciousness. This fact tells us that self-awareness on the conscious level is not sufficient to account for self or consciousness, and that we must look to a deeper level if we are to find the true source and origin of self-awareness.